Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, June 14th, 2012. Well, tonight's guest uses words, both in print and spoken, to encourage women to forget about the dust bunnies under the bed and keep their focus on Jesus. The author of four books, including How Big Is Your Umbrella, and her most recent, The Good Girl's Guide to Great Sex, Sheila Ray Gauguire is also a syndicated parenting columnist and a popular speaker. She's also one of the keynote speakers at Write Canada Writers Conference, which started today in Guelph. And she's on the phone with us from her home in Belleville in an interview we pre-recorded for tonight's broadcast. We'll talk to her about her writing in a few moments. But before we begin our conversation with Sheila, let's take a listen to Moon Over Birkenau from Steve Bell's Solace CD. And now to our interview with writer Sheila Ray Gauguire. Good evening, Sheila.
Hi, how are you doing, Robert?
Not bad. Now, let's go back to the beginning with you. And when did you start writing?
I started way back in 1997. And I started just by sending in, you know, one of those little anecdotes to Reader's Digest and they pay you $200?
Yeah.
And I thought, hey, that wasn't too hard. You know, maybe there's other magazines I can send little anecdotes to. So I got a hold of a book on Christian magazines that are looking for content, and I read through that book, and I started writing magazine articles, and everything grew from there.
Was that Sally Stewart?
It was something that I intended. It just kind of happened.
Yeah. Was that Sally Stewart's book?
Yes, Sally Stewart, Christian Writer's Market Guide.
Now, what was that anecdote? What was that first anecdote that you sent off?
Oh, gosh, let's see if I can even remember. Okay, so I was sitting in the hospital with my son, and I overheard this nurse telling this other nurse this story. And the weekend before, she'd been babysitting her nephew, her 6-year-old nephew, and he had fallen and hit his head on the table, and she had taken him into the hospital, and they were afraid he had a concussion. So she was supposed to wake him up periodically and make sure he was okay. So every hour that night, she would just shake him and say, David, are you okay? Do you know what your name is? Now, what's your name? And at 4 o'clock in the morning, she came in to do that, and she noticed something white on his head. And she turned the light on, and he had put a note on his head saying, my name is David. Because he was tired of getting woken up and asked what his name was. So
what was it like for you when you saw that, and you saw that those words in print and your name beside them?
Oh, it was really neat. And I did, by the way, split the money with the nurse, so I didn't take the whole money. But I thought, you know, I was just out of university. I have two postgraduate degrees, but I also had a whole bunch of babies, and I had no inclination to go to any kind of a 9-to-5 job. And I thought, you know, this might be a way just to keep me interested and keep me doing something while they were napping. And so I thought, because it's kind of fun, and I got like $160 for that, I think. And so I thought, why not keep trying?
Well, now you start gold on your first time out, which a lot of writers don't do. For some writers, it takes them, you know, a number of times and queries and letters and that and not getting anything. What was it like once you got that first anecdote published and you started, you know, like you said, sending letters out and asking people if they wanted your stuff? What was it like? Was it, did success come fairly quickly? Were you getting published all the time, or were there just dry spells where you're kind of going, why do I keep doing this?
I think there's always dry spells in something like this. I mean, a lot of people look at me and they're jealous because I have a number of books published, and even with one of the bigger publishers. But once you're there, you're still totally consumed with marketing, and I'm supposed to sell a certain number in my first year or else I may never get a book contract again. So it's like no matter what you do, it's very hard to bask in it and say, this is great, I finally arrived. When I was starting out, I wrote a lot of magazine articles, and I wasn't part of a writer's group, so I didn't know what you weren't supposed to do. So one of my first queries was to Today's Christian Woman, at the time one of the largest magazines. And they actually took that query, and I didn't know that you weren't supposed to target them until you had written for a number of other things, a number of smaller things. So I kind of did things backwards, but it worked. And but I'll tell you that in many ways this has been the hardest job for the last 10 years because you just really never feel like you've arrived. You never feel like you've done enough. And I'm constantly, constantly going to God saying, is this really what you want me to do? Is this really how I'm supposed to spend my time? Because I'm more than willing to give it up. You know, and he's just never closed the door on me. So I just keep doing it, and I often wonder why.
Well, when you look at it, what keeps you going in that direction? And what keeps you motivated to keep trying and keep going and sending out the letters and saying, you know, I have an idea that might work for your readers and that? What keeps you motivated?
I think it's a combination of stubbornness and calling. I do feel like I have a message that God wants to get out there. And a lot of my writing today is actually done on my blog. I have, I don't know, about 100 and almost 200,000 readers a month. So I have a lot of people on my blog, and I get so much feedback from them. So that's been wonderful because at least I know that what I'm writing is having some effect on people. And so I do feel a certain amount of calling, but then I think a lot of it honestly is just stubbornness. I think a lot of people give up when they don't get the immediate success, and all my success came really slowly, and I just never gave up because I didn't know what else I wanted to do, so I thought, well, I'm going to make this work, and I kept buying books, and I kept getting training, and I just kept trying.
Well, who have been your influences over the years?
That's a hard one. I've made some great friendships, I think. I don't know if it's influences as much as it is networking with people who have really encouraged me. I know Karen Stiller, who is the editor at Faith Today, and she and I did quite a bit together a number of years ago. In my speaking ministry, Eric Spath from World Vision has been a great encourager and has really helped me grow. But I think, I don't know if it's influences as much as it is just networking. That's why I like things like Write Canada, because you get to sit down and talk to people who are in the same boat and who have the same insecurities and the same frustrations, and we can laugh about it, and you realize you're not alone.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit more about Write Canada in a few minutes, but what I need to do is take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Sheila Ray Gregoire and talk a bit more about what she's been doing and the books she's written. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to At the Foot of the Cross from the Spirit Moves CD by Fergus Marsh. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Sheila Ray Gouguar. Sheila, one of the things that you've done is you've been able to take sort of one specialized topic and really make it your own, and that's the whole women and their relationships.
Right, you're going to say something else.
We're going to get into that one in a minute. But what led you to writing specifically on those topics? You know, things like, how big is your umbrella? Yes, tonight, honey, I have a headache. I can't remember that one. Honey, I don't have a headache. But what led you to writing those type of books?
Okay, this is going to sound really shallow. Just a warning. But when I was in university, I did these two postgraduate degrees, and everything I ever wrote had so much research behind it. Like, I spent days and days in the library finding obscure articles and books and researching before I could even figure out what I thought about something, and then you have to make an argument. And so when I started writing for magazines, I decided I never want to have to do any research again. Like, I will do minimum research. I will search for things, but I want mostly to write about stuff I already know about because this is terrible. And so that's kind of what I did. I focused all my writing on the struggles that I'm having myself because I found it more interesting and it was a whole lot easier to do. And I guess that would just be the easy answer. A lot of my books, I really feel, were research projects. They were problems that I had in my own life that I wanted answers to. So it's not like when you look at a book that you think, oh, she has it all together in that area. More likely it's the opposite, that I don't have it all together, and this is something where God is working on me about, and so I'm sharing out of that.
Now, did you always write just straight nonfiction stuff?
Yeah, I have. I've never done fiction, and I have a couple of ideas for novels in my head. I don't know if I'll ever get to them. Fiction is just such a competitive area, and it seems like I have a voice now in the women's nonfiction, so I'm not sure that I ever would.
Right. Well, and speaking of a voice in the women's nonfiction, your latest book was one that sort of really came about with a really neat end of it. How did you end up writing a book like The Good Girl's Guide to Great Sex?
Okay, well, again, this just proves that that there's more to this industry than you think. But I speak a lot. I do a lot of women's conferences, a lot of women's groups at churches. And when I speak, it tends to be for general women's audiences. So you've got all ranges of ages, all ranges of marriages, all everything. And so I had this idea for an amazing book that I wanted to write for a general women's audience. And I went to my agent and I told him what I wanted to write, and he said, there's no way. They are not going to buy it from you right now, not with the recession. You need something that is punchy, that really strikes a nerve. So what else have you got? So he made me go through all my different ideas, and this Good Girl's Guide to Great Sex I've been thinking about for a long time, but it wasn't something I really wanted to write. But he said, that's the one. That's the one that's going to sell. And so we did it. And again, it's like I never intended to be the sex lady, but that's what I've become.
Now, I guess something you just said there is, you know, you went to your agent, you had this idea, and the agent said, that's not going to sell.
Yeah.
How much does the market drive what you individually as a writer decide to write and what other writers are getting into the market to write?
It really depends on what your approach is. I wanted a book that I would be able to sell to a major publishing house because I figure once you've sold a certain number of copies, once you're there, then you can kind of write whatever you want. You kind of have your ticket made. So I wanted a breakout book, just one. And it's not that I didn't want to write about sex, it's just that I really wanted the general book. While I'm good at marketing, I don't like marketing. And so I didn't want to self-publish, not for this. And so I decided to go with something that could be published. And I think that's where writers are at today. There are so many things opening up to you. I do write. I do self-publish some things. I'm in the process of doing a lot of e-books that I'll be selling off of my blog. Mm-hmm. I have self-published books of my columns, so it's not that I don't self-publish. I just wanted someone else to do the marketing and distributing, so I wanted a big publisher. And, you know, there is something to the idea of trying to figure out what will sell, because I guess what I've come to realize is that writing and speaking take so much time. I want to make sure that time is spent strategically. And I think a lot of people have this idea that God has given me this message and God has given me this story and I need to get it out. And that's all fine and dandy, but if a very small number of people are going to read it, perhaps you could have done better spending a year working at a soup kitchen or spending a year doing something else. Like, I think there is a point where you have to figure out, am I doing this for major kingdom impact, or am I doing it because I want to? And if you're doing it because you want to, that's perfectly fine. But if you are thinking strategically about kingdom impact, then I think we do need to think about what are things that will sell, what are the questions people are asking, how are people going about seeking God right now, and how can I enter into those questions? Because that's where we're going to get people. That's where we're going to really reach people.
Now, how much does the marketing end of things distract from the writing end of things?
Okay, marketing is about like 85% of what I do, and writing is about 15% of what I do, I would say. But that's because I consider all the writing I do on my blog actually marketing. And maybe I shouldn't, but that's how I kind of think of it. But I haven't written a book since I wrote this one, and I finished it about a year and a half ago. Since then, I've mostly been doing marketing. I do write a column every week, so there is that. And I write a few other things for different magazines. But on the whole, I'm doing marketing. And that's just what it is today. Like, you need to get known on Facebook and all of these other things. And it really is difficult. It's not an easy thing. That's why, again, I think you really need a sense that this is God's calling on your life, because otherwise it is too hard.
Yeah. And you talked about some of the other magazines and that you're writing for. You also write a relationship column for a men's magazine.
Yeah, that's kind of fun.
Yeah. How did that come about?
Well, after I wrote Honey, I Don't Have a Headache Tonight, which was back in 2004, Promise Keepers asked me to do a TV show with them. And so I was on that for a couple of episodes. Faith Today asked me to write about sex. I kind of became the go-to person for sex in Canada because nobody else was really talking about it. And so when Promise Keepers was putting together their magazine, Seven Magazine, they came to me and asked if I would do that because I was sort of already known in that area. And it's been a lot of fun. I sort of try to tell men what women are thinking. And it's always a challenge to come up with new topics, but it's a fun one, and I know people do read it.
Great. Well, we need to take one final break, and when we come back, we're going to finish our conversation with writer Sheila Ray Gouguar. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Endo Contendo from the J. Calder CD Barnabas. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Sheila Reguiguard. You're in Guelph this weekend. Everything started last night at the awards gala. You're part of Write Canada, and just wondering, maybe some of our listeners might not have heard about Write Canada before. I know you've been there in the past. Yes. What was it? There was one night we were up to 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I'm sure. In the lobby. Only place that has a good internet connection.
So. Yeah, I think there were about 4 or 5 of us up there, and we got onto some really strange topics. I think fatigue was setting in. Tell our listeners a little bit about what Write Canada is.
Well, it is the annual cross-Canada conference for Christian writers. So people fly in from all over Canada. I'm very blessed that I live in Ontario, so it doesn't take very long for me to get there. But for 3 days, there's workshops, continuing classes, lots of different streams of writing. So you can look at screenwriting, you can look at article newspaper writing, you can look at novel writing. And so for people who have always had that bug, like I do want to write, I feel like this could be what God wants me to do, it's a great place to go just to see the breadth of what writing can be. And what I really appreciate, it isn't even the classes so much, not that they're not good, but just meeting other people and talking to other people and learning from people just while you're standing in line or while you're eating your meals or whatever. Yeah. It's just a wonderful networking time.
Yeah, and I think a lot of us have gone, and especially the first-timers, are amazed to find out that there are people that are just like them. They think they're the only ones that enjoy sitting down in front of a computer and putting words on screens and that, and all of a sudden they find out there's this whole host of people that are exactly think the way they think.
Yeah, and I think that what's so neat about it too is that you can talk to people who have made it, and they can tell you how to do it. And it is a lot of work. There are no shortcuts.
No,
it is a lot of work to get good. But if you're prepared to do that work, I think that God really can use you. You just need to be prepared to do that work. And this conference teaches you what work you need to do and how to do it.
So how did you get chosen as a keynote speaker for this year's?
I guess it's probably because I do a lot of speaking. I am a writer, but primarily I spend my time speaking at church groups and conferences around the country. And so they know that about me. And I guess... the more I've been writing, the better known I've become. So I guess they thought that maybe I would be entertaining. So I hope I am.
Yeah. What have you got planned to say to them?
I think what I want to say is that writing is an adventure. For me, it was never anything I planned. And every time I thought I planned something, God would throw a curveball at me. And so what I've learned is that you just need to be prepared so that whatever comes, you're ready for it. And that's part of the calling, I think, is also being called towards excellence and always trying to be prepared so that no matter what God has for you, that you're ready to run into it when the door opens.
So looking at what you've been doing and where you're going in that, what's next on your agenda? Have you got another idea ready to sit down and write, or are you just going to continue doing the speaking and focus on the marketing of your latest book, or you know, what's on your agenda for the next little while?
I certainly am going to be doing a lot with my book and continue to market it, but there's with everything changing so fast, I would like to do a lot more internet-based stuff, and I'm teamed with Family Life Canada. We're looking at how to put a lot of teaching, marriage teaching, on the internet through seminars and webinars, and I'd like to start a marriage university or something like that online. So I think that's my next major project that I'm going to be working with them on. And it involves writing and speaking, and everything kind of comes together for that.
Great. Where can people get more information about you and the stuff that you've done?
You know, the easiest thing to do is just to go to my blog, because I do update that every day. And it's tolovehonorandvacuum.com. Spelt the American way. I'm sorry, there's no U in honor, but tolovehonorandvacuum.
That was a marketing thing, right?
It is. Americans don't know what to do with those U's. And I'm always there. And then there's links there to my speaking pages, to my articles that I've written, and all kinds of stuff.
Great. Sheila, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thank you to my guest, Sheila Ray Gregoire. And be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selaw Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.